Hello and Happy New Year. Welcome to Talking Trading for 2015. I'm your host, Caroline Stephen. It is great to have you on board with us. To kickstart the year, Louise Bedford shares her experience and advice on the dangers of becoming a full-time trader prematurely and why you shouldn't pull the eject chute straight away and tell your boss to shove it just yet. We also have a dose of personal development with golden tips and strategies that high achievers use to prepare themselves for the year ahead. And Chris Tate walks us through what's been happening in the markets for the week ending 16th of January 2015. Chris Tate, hello and welcome.
Hi, Caroline.
How did the US markets close last week?
We'd actually gotten off to a fairly dull start to the year. The Americans had had some perturbations with some fairly substantial moves in absolute terms, but not in relative terms down. And then come Thursday night, the Swiss took time out from eating chocolate and making cuckoo clocks to decide to unpeg themselves from the euro and remove the cap that had been in place for several years. And that really put the cat among the pigeons. The Swiss franc moved as much as, I think, 44% on the night before settling down. And the repercussions of that are still being felt. It's put a scythe through the retail FX broking industry in that it has sent many firms broke. It's also cost some firms a small fortune. I think the figures quoted for FXCM sit at about $225 million. They've needed a $300 million lifeline. And other firms have lost anywhere between $40 to $125 million. And the liquidity providers like Deutsche Bank have been hit just as hard. They're down $120. Interactive Brokers, the figures I'm hearing are anywhere between $100 and $140 million down. That part of the industry has taken a serious hit, and it rattled FX markets. It hasn't really rattled the major equity markets. The US were actually positive last night, as were most world markets. Admittedly, the Swiss market took a belting because this is a serious thing for the Swiss.
So why did they do this?
Well, the Swiss have been concerned for some time about the cap. It seems like an extraordinarily blunt measure to simply go all bets are off, because it will have such dramatic effect for the Swiss internally. It won't really have that much of an effect for others. It certainly caught traders offside because everybody had been relentlessly long, say, Euro-Swiss, US-Dollar-Swiss, but it's going to make things very interesting for the Swiss internally.
Will it affect the Eurozone?
Look, that's a very good question, because the Swiss franc had in effect become a de facto euro because it was capped, so it couldn't go anywhere. The impact it will have on the zone as a whole will be very, very interesting. But at this stage, I think most people are just guessing as to what that impact will be.
Okay, well, let's look back to the Australian market. How did that perform this week?
Oh, look, we are as we are as we are. our market is caught. And it is caught in this terrible sort of dualism of a collapse in the price of crude and a general collapse in the price of most commodities, particularly metals. And until that changes, you probably won't get a dramatic lift in the Australian market. And that's just a function of being a commodity-based economy. I would have hoped that we would have gotten some fill-up from particularly the Chinese market, because that's been extremely strong for the past few months. But that has not flowed through, and it has not flowed through to commodity prices at all. We've still got the likes of iron ore falling out of bed. Crude and the energy complex is being belted. We've got this pissing contest between OPEC and the Americans. Most of the soft commodities are weak as well.
What opportunities are you looking at, Chris?
Well, it's interesting. I'm actually looking at three things. One is, whilst crude has been belted, the trend does, in the interim, seem to have stabilised. And I do say in the interim. It's interesting for me, simply because I've been long stocks that benefit from a collapse in the oil price, like airlines. I mean, there is an old adage that if you want to go broke, buy an airline. That fortunately hasn't turned out to be the case. But I'm also, I've been selectively short gold and silver for the past few years simply because the long-term trend has been down. Since 2011, they've effectively been stuffed, and any movement up has been a counter-trend movement. What my system is now telling me is that it looks like that weekly or long-term downtrend is coming to an end, particularly with gold. And if it does, my system will switch itself long for gold. And again, we go through that decision-making process of what instrument do we trade? Well, for me, the first off is to actually trade gold itself, generally through a gold futures contract. But if gold starts to move, you will probably get some degree of momentum or energy back into our own local gold stocks. And the same is true for platinum, because it's showing a similar... Look, I won't oversell it and say change of trend, but what is happening is interesting to me as someone who watches price.
Let's just jump to the American market. How do you think that's looking?
If you look at all the broad American indices, they're very listless. Post-setting their record highs last year, they have drifted. I mean, the Dow stuck bouncing below 18,000. The S&P 500 is bouncing below 2,100. The NASDAQ looks a little bit shitty. Again, context is everything. The context for these markets is that they have been in very broad, very strong uptrends, and they've been doing so now for 5 years.
Is it a bull that's run out of steam?
Look, that's a very good question. It's an extremely good question. The collapse in the price of crude certainly has rattled them a little bit. Shenanigans with the Swiss are intriguing. Unless you get a change of the long-term trend, the weekly trend, you can't really say that the bull market has come to an end. All you can really say is that it is pausing. And we seem to be in one of these pause phases. And look, they're immensely frustrating for traders. And interestingly enough, it's been my experience that things start to happen when you stop wishing for things to happen. And you just, the market will go on its own course without you or anything you want to happen.
Advice to traders this week.
I've noticed something interesting among particularly FX traders going, should we trade, you know, should we be taking trades on Swiss franc? And my blunt response is, God, no. Simply because what you've seen is a complete change in paradigm. We've operated under one arrangement for years. That arrangement's now changed, and you don't know what the implications of that arrangement are until it settles down. Pioneers are the ones with arrows in their back. Let some other idiot go first. In terms of markets, as I said, I'm intrigued by the action in gold, silver and palladium at present. I'm interested to see whether we can get a break in crude, because crude now seems to have slammed itself into about $48 and is sitting there. And I'm intrigued as to how this competition between OPEC and the Americans plays out.
Chris Tate, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks, Caroline.
Want to kickstart your trading for 2015? Come along to our exclusive free Trader Evening event in Sydney on the 4th of February. Trading giant Chris Tate presents Your Thinking is Keeping You Broke. Come and enjoy free drinks and canapes, network with fellow traders, and meet our top Sydney-based wizards of trading game. The event is being held at the Establishment Ballroom, Level 2, 252 George Street, Sydney. Registration is from 5:15 p.m. Bring along your financial passion, an open mind, and a sense of humour. To register for free, click on the link in this week's Talking Trading email. We'll have the champagne ready to pour on your arrival. What do high achievers do to set themselves up for a great year? Well, surprisingly, or perhaps unsurprisingly, many successful entrepreneurs share similar habits. And here are the 8 most common themes. Number 1, the first thing high achievers do to set themselves up for a fabulous year ahead is to review the previous one. John Maxwell said, "I set myself up for success in the new year by pausing and reflecting." Tony Robbins does the same. Throughout the year, he collects accomplishments and magic moments in a journal, almost like saving up receipts for tax purposes. So my question to you is, What were your magic moments last year? The second thing high achievers do to start the new year is to stay positive. Jeff Walker reviews all his wins for the previous year. Too often, he says, we don't recognise all the great stuff we have accomplished. Number three, the third thing high achievers do is express gratitude. Ray Edwards prepares a gratitude flood, where he writes down every good thing he can remember from the past year. And in that state of total gratitude, he then asks, what do I want to be most thankful for 1 year from now? And the fourth thing high achievers do to start the new year is to eliminate excess. Ray Edwards ruthlessly eliminates the bottom 30% of activities and projects from the previous year. And Derek Halpern takes it a step further and doesn't just eliminate the things he hates, but also the things he loves, which aren't delivering the results. In his words, he kills his darlings. Stay tuned next week to hear the other four things high achievers do to get the most out of their year. People often quit their jobs prematurely to become a full-time trader. But there are no guarantees in this game, and even though trading offers you a life of unparalleled freedom, you have to make sure that you've developed the skills necessary and gained enough experience in the markets before you go and tell your boss that they can simply shove it. For all the budding traders of 2015, Louise Bedford joins us now to share her experience on the topic and give her advice. So, Lou, when did you actually quit your job to become a full-time trader?
I think I left my job in 96. Do you know, if I had have known where all of this would be leading, I would have kept more careful records. I started trading in about 1990, 91, because I know it was just as I was leaving uni. So that gives me a bit of a landmark there. But some people go a lot faster than this. You know, it took me 6-7 years to leave my role. I was fairly happy with the result because a lot of what I was learning was through Braille. No one was showing me. There are some benefits to working, though. Like when I stopped my job, I could not believe that they stopped paying me. I know I should have realised that at some level. I should have realised that emotionally. I was a bit insulted because I'd been receiving a paycheck as regular as clockwork for years, and all of a sudden that money stopped. And I went through an awful period of disgusting trading straight after that because I think I was wounded by the fact that I had to leave my role and that I was starting a new career and that my husband's business wasn't established, so we were leaking money. And how dare they stop paying me? I was loyal to them.
You were very young at the time too.
Yeah, I was a baby. Yeah. I was a baby. And that's why I don't like it when people say, you know, to teenagers these days, what would you know because you don't have enough experience? A lot of the experiences that I gathered as a teenager when I started trading in my early 20s, it really did count. It just depends on how closely you're following your own lessons.
All right, so how long did it take before you could substitute trading for a so-called normal job with a normal pay packet?
I wouldn't call that first year of trading full-time a normal pay packet at all. I would say it was 97, 98. So that was sort of 7-8 years before I was earning well enough to be able to say, yes, I have replaced my income and that I'm a full-time trader.
Why do people want to go full-time in the first place?
Oh, gosh. This has really become a buzz, hasn't it? People are so attracted to the freedom of being a trader, and also having an extra income source allows you to even out times when life is less certain. But I think there's a deeper issue happening here. There is a fight going on within people because they used to think that they'd have a job for life. And now we know we're being betrayed by our employers emotionally. And I'm not saying the employers are doing the wrong thing here because, frankly, you know, everybody needs to make a buck. And if somebody has to go, they have to go. But we are wounded by that. Our tribe has deserted us, and that hurts. So we need to become more responsible for ourselves. We need to step up and realize that the buck stops with us and that we cannot rely on other people to give us the results that we're craving. And I'm loving that. I think if you look at the worldwide trend, that is what's happening inside people's hearts. They're striving for more and they're not wanting to rely on a boss to provide that.
So what's the hardest part about trading full-time?
Well, Caroline, you know that I'm a complete extrovert. So the solitary aspect of trading, honestly, sometimes it drives me to distraction. That's why Chris Tate and I became such good friends in the first place. He is an introvert. He can go for days without speaking to a single soul. I'm lucky if I make it through a minute or two without actually opening my mouth to say a word. So some people do have trouble adjusting to that, and I definitely fell into that category.
What questions should you be asking yourself before you become a full-time trader?
That's a really good question. This is a real key. I wish I had have known this before I started trading full-time. Firstly, have you honed the necessary skills to make money regardless of the market direction? So if the market's going up or down or sideways, they're the three things that can happen. Can you trade in all of those? And if you can't, then you might have trouble sustaining an income. Another point to consider is, do you have sufficient capital to continue trading? Now, you might suffer a string of losses, and to be able to continue trading as a full-time trader, you won't have things replacing the initial equity that you had. So a lot of people pitch themselves at a level of 10% in their mind. They say, okay, roughly I can probably make 10% out of the markets. I know it sounds low, but let's be conservative. So if you have $500,000 and you can live on $50,000 a year, hey, you've got probably a good ratio there. However, if you have $100,000 and you need $100,000 to live on per year, you're dreaming, as they say. You're really saying to yourself something that is inadequate for the market to supply. Another question to ask is, do you have the discipline to follow a stop loss? Now, this should be an easy yes for all of the traders listening. However, there'll be some people going, oh no, but that one's a long-term investment. I'll just leave it under the bed. No one will know. That doesn't work as a full-time trader. You cannot do that. Now, here's one that I get a lot of criticism about, Caroline. So I'm telling you now, I probably will get emails about this. Have you been able to bank your primary source of income for at least a year and live solely on the money derived through trading? Now, that's a real mungle, because people want to quit on a knee-jerk reaction. When job gets too hard, I want to leave. That's sort of the caveman discussion they have in their head. But I really suggest hang on in there. Live on your trading, and then you'll see whether you can live on your trading. It sounds like an obvious point. I continually get people balking on this. And perhaps one other one to consider is, do you have the support of your family? Now, consider it, but if you don't have their support, then you must be prepared to stick to your guns. I have a female trader who I trained in Queensland. She did exceptionally well. She did have an absolutely fabulous family support up until the point she started earning more than her spouse. So the spouse went through some sort of brain blurt and decided that that wasn't good enough and tried to sabotage her. You know, the thing I loved about this lady is that she stuck to her guns and she just calmly approached the situation until he could get his money script, his mindset up to where she was. And it was lovely to see. And I don't know, like, patience is really important for share traders, but I think I would have been turning around snapping at him going, I can't believe you're doing this to me. But she didn't. And so her marriage is in a really good position, which is lovely to see.
How's her trading now?
Oh my gosh, she's amazing.
Lou, we'll have to wrap it up there now. Thanks so much for your time. Lovely to have you.
Thanks, Caroline.
Here at Talking Trading, we really value your feedback. Tell us what you'd like to hear more of in the year ahead by emailing me at caroline@talkingtrading.com.au. Louise Bedford and Chris Tate will be releasing a trading survey into the alumni forum shortly so they can get a better understanding of your trading needs. When you complete their questions, they will offer a free brand new special report called 7 Proven Strategies to Kick Trading Anxiety Forever. And guys, that's all we have for you today for the very first episode of Talking Trading for 2015. Thank you to our contributors Chris Tate and Louise Bedford. Stay tuned next week to hear trading giant Gary Stone in a fabulous interview on the keys to successful trading. I'm Caroline Stephen, and on behalf of the team here, thanks for your company. Look forward to seeing you next week.
Talking Trading is brought to you by tradinggame.com.au. Make sure you're registered on tradinggame.com.au to receive your free 5-part e-course called The Share Market, Your Unfair Advantage. It'll give you exactly what you need so that you can trade confidently and safely with veteran traders Chris Tate and Louise Bedford by your side.
The views represented on Talking Trading are general in nature and do not take into account your objectives, financial situation, or needs. Before acting on any information, consider its appropriateness in regard to your own situation.